Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's For Women. You are not 9 to 5 and neither are we. Conveniently open online 365 days per year, 24 hours per day.
Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1.
Now, I picked this guest myself for me, really, and it just so happens that you guys are going to be listening in as well. Aidan Gately joins me now on the phone from Wales. Back in 2020, he swapped his life and stage for a life and stuff. He's on the line now to share how he's going to sort my life out and everybody else listening this morning who have a bit of an issue with decluttering and with too much stuff. Aidan, good morning.
Morning, Maura. How are you?
I'm not too bad. Aidan, we said you swapped your life at stage for a life of stuff. Tell us about your past life first. What did you do?
Yeah, so I like that line, actually. I'm going to rob that. I did performing arts in college way back when. And so I did a few kind of jobs, professional jobs around the place. I worked for Disneyland in Paris for a little while as well. And then I came back to Ireland and I worked for almost the last 15 years before COVID in arts marketing. I was in Borgosh Energy Theatre before that. I was in Dreux, the art centre out in Blanchardstown.
Great.
So,
okay.
Yeah, I was always behind a desk and doing stuff I loved. I've always loved and always will love theatre and tickets and everything. But after a while, I was like, I need something else and I want something more physical and where I'm in contact with the public a little bit more.
Right. Yeah. So you watched a Netflix documentary and then you discovered Marie Kondo. She tell us about her, just for people who are listening. I mightn't know.
So Marie Kondo, she's I call her the Japanese tidying guru. So some people will know her from her Netflix program. Her first book was The Magical Art of Tidying Up. And her tagline is spark joy. So she's all about asking yourself when you're decluttering and tidying, does this thing spark joy? Do I want it in my life? So I watched her Netflix program or watched the first episode and straight away was running in to refold my t-shirts in the way that she recommends, which is in thirds. Mine was already folded, a bit of a neat freak, I suppose, anyway, but her system did work. It creates more space in your drawers. It's easier to see your clothes, etc. So, I got obsessed, I suppose, then in a nice way. I bought her book. I read the book, and that really resonated with me. It felt like a lot of the things she felt and did throughout her life were similar in a way to mine or something. So, really loved her book. And then,
but you went further, though. You became a Kondo Marie consultant. What is that?
Yeah, so I was on her website one day and realized, wow, there's a consultant tab and you can click in here and you can actually train to become a Marie Kondo consultant. So you can help people do this. So so a KonMari consultant is somebody who uses Marie Kondo's method, which is the KonMari method, to declutter their houses. Because I suppose around the world, there are a lot of professional organizers and declutterers, but there's only about 600 KonMari consultants worldwide. There's only about 5 of us in Ireland, so it's quite a niche thing. And she has a very strategic, simple to follow method that we like to think makes tidying up your house easier. It helps you not rebound. So it's very strategic in that she tidies by category and not by location. And that's one of the main differences, I think, as well. So so once I found out that, wow, I could do this potentially as a career, I signed up to do the course. It was supposed to happen in London in May of 2020, which didn't happen, but we pivoted and we did it online instead, and that's how it all started to roll for me.
It's interesting, as you said, there are 600 of the KonMari consultants in the world, or KonMari consultants in the world, and there are only 10 men, but 5 of them in Ireland. I didn't know Irish men were that tidy, to be honest. I haven't met many of them in my life, but you're obviously one.
There's about 10 male tidying consultants worldwide. No, there's only 5 regular tidying consultants in Ireland, and I'm the only male.
Oh, you're
one
the
in
only
Ireland,
male. So. Oh, okay, right.
Yeah,
okay,
So it is.
Anyway, tell us a little bit about it. You're telling us about the method. How do you sort this out? Because I've got texts coming in already. Hi, Maura. I moved into a new home in 2019. I still have boxes and boxes not opened and sorted. There are 2 rooms in the house that hold these boxes. I cannot motivate myself to start cleaning or clearing. I feel overwhelmed. They look unsightly too. That's from Esther. And actually, for me, as a person who gets overwhelmed every time I look at a pile, tell me and help me how to get through this. What do I do?
Well, I suppose recognizing where you are first, and what I love to do with people is get them to that place where they're not overwhelmed, because their homes should be a sanctuary and they should be a place of peace and calm when we close the door in the evenings. So that person, Esther, who has those boxes In some ways, she's starting from a really good place because actually she now has her clutter already boxed up. So literally just takes it box by box, you know. So what I'd be suggesting, because looking into those rooms, she's getting overwhelmed because there's so much stuff. So what I would say first is, you know, forgive herself for it happening because we're all humans and we all accumulate stuff. So what I'd do before she even takes out a box to go through it, I'd get some more boxes, empty boxes from your local supermarket or cardboard boxes, whatever you have, some stickers or some post-it notes, and put them keep, donate and recycle. Because what you want is, you don't want to pull out a box, start going through it and have nowhere to put the stuff. Because that's all clutter is homeless stuff. It's really, really simple. So what you need to do, and anybody else listening as well who has that tidy, messy kind of press or drawer or room or garage or whatever, so get three boxes, get three even just bags, keep, donate and recycle on them, have your normal waste bag as well beside you. Then take out your box and put it on the kitchen table, the dining room table, even on the floor, and go through each item one by one. It's not a quick thing. You won't go through a whole room in the morning, but you'll be amazed how much you will go through. And then just ask yourself, when you open up that box, and especially for Esther there, she's moved in 2019, so that's 5 years she hasn't needed, let's say, the stuff in those rooms. So there is a chance that maybe she doesn't need all the stuff in that room, but also there could be stuff in those boxes in those rooms that are really sentimental to her, stuff that she's forgotten she has and that she loves. So as you take it out, ask yourself, does it spark joy? Is where you would say, do I love it? Do I need it? Do I like it? Do I want to wear it? Do I want to use it? Do I want it in this new home, in my new life kind of going forward? And if the answer is yes, it goes into keep. And if you're kind of doubting yourself and kind of going, I'm not sure, trust your gut. If you're not saying yes kind of straight away, then it's time to gratefully let it go without any guilt, without any shame, and put it into the donate or the recycle section.
That's interesting. You see, I read that book too, that Spark Joy one, and then I lifted up a dress that I had forever and I said, okay, does this spark joy? And it didn't spark massive joy, but I kind of then started thinking of the history of the dress, where I bought it, that I got it on a sale. It was an expensive dress, and I just put it back where I found it. So that's my issue. But you help people with clothes, with all sorts of things. How do you do this? Is it mostly clothes or is it other stuff? Is it kitchen or bedroom, or how do you manage it?
Yeah, so it depends on the person. You know, if somebody wants to do a full, what Marie and the KonMari method does is a tidying festival. So that's where somebody will come to me and say, look, I want to tidy everything in my life, all my possessions. I want to do it once and for all and never have to do it again. And that's a tidying festival. And that one I love doing, because that's where we literally start with somebody's clothes and we go to all of their clothes. And it's very strategic. We don't move on to the next category, which is books, until we're finished clothes. After books, we do all of the paper in the house. Then we do all of the miscellaneous items, which is kimono, which includes everything from DVDs, CDs, like swimming goggles, hobby items, right down to the food in the fridge. And then the last thing, and maybe your dress needs to live in this section, is the sentimental items. Because, you know, what's sentimental to me, what's sentimental to you is different. Some people might think a chair, and correctly, is sentimental for them for family reasons. Somebody else, it might be beer mats or key rings or something. So anything like that, like if I'm working with a client and there's something sentimental in clothes or books or paper, we just push that to the side. We make a little area and we say, we'll come back to that at the end. Because by the time they've kind of joy checked and gone through all of the other items in the categories, when you come to their sentimental items, it'll be easier then for them to decide if they want to keep it or let it go. You know, and Marie Kondo and this method and what I do with clients, it's not about minimalism. It's that you don't have to get rid of everything. I always tell my clients, look, you can literally keep everything you want in your house and we'll just restore it better. But they never do. But you need to give people that permission to keep stuff, because it's, and that's what I kind of tell them as well when we're facing into a pile of clothes, or even, you know, when people come to me and they don't have time for a tidying festival, it's like, let's just tackle the wardrobe because it's overflowing, or the kitchen. I said, look, just look at this pile of clothes or look at the kitchen, and it's a kind of a, like a treasure hunt. Let's make it fun. Let's find the things you love and you want and you need. And that makes it just, you kind of flip the psychology on it and it becomes more positive. Instead of looking at it thinking, I have to get rid of half of this, and you already feel bad for yourself. So flip it the other way, find what you love, and then it's just about gratefully discarding the rest. Because as humans, we accumulate so much stuff. Some of the things we buy for ourselves, but other stuff we just accumulate from other people, and we never give ourselves a chance to kind of curate it ourselves. Yeah. You know,
Caroline got in touch with us. Caroline Finn. She says, "I can see the difference in photos of my house pre and after Marie Kondo method. She loves it." Another viewer got in touch here. Hoarding has become an absolute nightmare for me in my home. My partner has stuff absolutely everywhere. There's no floor space in any any available space in any other room. The sheds are full. And the house and the farm is full. The sheds and the farm is full as well. I'm snowed under, but he won't let me get rid of anything. A lot of it is stuff like tools, good things, etc. But I feel totally helpless. I physically cannot shift the items, and mentally I am done. Any help greatly appreciated. How do you deal with that when somebody else that you're with or living with or married to or a partner, that they have all this stuff and you are not like that, but it is really impacting your life?
Yeah, no, I feel for Caroline there especially. And I suppose the first thing to say is, and we don't know them personally, but hoarding is kind of now, and if that is, it might almost be a hoarding level of accumulation, you know, and that's kind of now recognised as a mental health condition. Not to kind of make it too serious or whatever, but like sometimes people need a little bit more help than just me. You know, you might need a little bit of kind of psychology kind of going in there as well, you know, because for sure, by the sounds of it, if I was Caroline, I don't know how I'd cope kind of every day. And so another way to think about it, I think, is quite interesting, is sometimes, and not to generalize, but with men, if we can come explain to them, God, you're losing so much real estate. Like, by the sounds of it, if Caroline calculated up how much the percentage of each room that is unusable, you know, there, it sounds like 50% of the house they mightn't be able to use because of clutter. And when you think of it, like, God, we're paying a mortgage and we're paying rent on, like, I don't know, 120 square meters of a house, a three-bed semi, but actually we're only using 60 square meters of it. It's such a waste of space, and we're paying for a space that we can't use.
I don't think people realise those sometimes, and I know hoarding can be an issue at a higher level that you need help with, but I think there's somewhere in between where declutter becomes so much, or clutter becomes so much, that it's almost a semi-hoarding. You don't realise it. You were talking about a tidying. What is a tidying festival? And I know there is one person we got in touch with to chat to us today, Nisha Stewart-Kelly. You were Aidan's case study during his training, and you had a tidying festival, or you actually were in a tidying, how do I say this? You participated in a tidying festival? You were part of a tidying festival. Tell us about this tidying festival.
Yeah, I guess that's what you would say. I participated and did a lot of the work, but guided so brilliantly by Aidan. I had recently moved into a new house. We were getting new wardrobes. And I suppose I was at a point in my life where I knew I needed to get a system in place. And I hadn't had a system up till then. So I suppose I was lucky in that I was starting from scratch with all of my possessions. And we'd only been in the house maybe 2 years, I'd say. But I'm also organised to begin with. So I didn't have one of those kind of big hoardy rooms with possessions everywhere. I had found places for things, but they hadn't really found, as Aidan would say, a proper home or a system. And that's really what Aidan helped me with. So we started with my clothes. I went around the house, took every item of clothing out of every wardrobe, went to the attic, got the winter clothes, opened the suitcases, took everything out. And I have lots of different kinds of, like most people, you have your sportswear, your summer stuff, your winter stuff. We went through all of it. You have to put it all into one space. So the bed looked like an absolute, it did look like a hoarder's room for that few hours. Everything got thrown in and we started to go through it. You know, using the method, and started to fold things and put things back into the drawers and presses in the particular way that Marie Kondo recommends.
And does that work for you, all that folding and all that, Nisha? Do you feel it works when you fold all that stuff? It seems to me it takes a lot of time to fold all those bits and pieces, but does it work long term if you get to have that method down?
Well, here's the thing, right? You've got hanging space as well, but I have a toddler. I don't have a whole pile of time now for folding stuff. But the thing is, if you have the discipline of the system that you put in place, you will find that when your washing is done, you take it out, you quickly fold. Like, I'm in such a habit of folding towels now the way I should and stick them back in the press. It's never a big job again. Like, it's a big job once to do everything. And then after that, you're only over folding one pile of washing. So
that's actually
really
very interesting, Neisha, isn't it, Aidan? So basically, you taught Neisha the way to do it properly once, and then it was just following on, not letting it all go cracked again, falling around the place.
Yeah, exactly. That's kind of like a lot of the people we work with in Home Rescue as well on the TV program. It's about getting the house back to a base level of functionality of where it works for somebody. And I love making things pretty, but it has to function as well. But once you get back to that base level of functionality, and 9 times out of 10, people just have too much stuff. It's not about buying more storage. It's literally reduce the amount of stuff you have. And then, as Neisha said, then when you do a wash, you're only putting away one wash. You know, when you're putting away a book, when you're going to look for your tax returns, you know where they are. You know, there's stats now to show that we lose like 2.5 days a year looking for lost items. Like, so if you're one of those people looking for keys every morning, like, you could spend 6 months of your life looking for stuff, when actually, if you just give everything a home, like, it just makes life so much easier, both psychologically, physically, mentally.
That's so true. Caroline Fenn got in touch with us earlier on, and she used the Marie Kondo method. She's actually on the line now. Hi, Caroline. Good morning.
Good morning, Maura.
How are you?
I'm great, thank you.
Are you pure, serene, sparking joy all over the shop?
Oh, sort of, yes. One of the main things I took from the whole thing was surround yourself with beautiful items. Like, I had 6 children at home at one point, and you kind of put away nice things. You're trying to keep them safe. And then in a blink of an eye, 20 years has gone, and something lovely, they never saw it because you were minding it for them, but they've gone.
That's a very good point.
So I put out all my pretty things around the house. Like, I have teapots in the kitchen that we wouldn't really use a teapot, but we store all our keys in it. So the teapot is on the windowsill, but everyone's keys are in it for the car and things like that. So you kind of surround yourself with nice things. I found that a great pick from the whole thing.
And Caroline, it's a great idea that you've made items that were just sitting there gathering dust multifunctional. And that's really great, isn't it? And that actually, you feel good when you do stuff like that yourself, don't you?
Yeah, I do. I think it's lovely. And my own room, it's very minimalist now, but on my cupboard doors, I hang little evening bags. There's just little decorations. I probably will never use them, but they're pretty.
You know what? You sound great. I seriously want to change my ways here. I have so much stuff. Actually, somebody else got in touch with us, an image consultant called Maria Macklin. She says most people buy clothes on a whim. They fill their wardrobes with clothes that they don't like, suit or need. Over time, we spend about $500,000 on clothes, an average of 20% of which we actively wear. Understand your personal style so you buy the right things to begin with. And actually, that's what Caroline is saying there. She's bringing out the nice, pretty things that she was sparing, as we say in the country. Caroline, where are you from?
I'm Dublin originally, living down in Meath.
Are you living down in Meath? Yeah. Well, I'm far more probably country than you then, but I mean, there's kind of a country thing of sparing stuff. And I even say it to my child, I go, spare that. I'm like, what's wrong with me? Come on. Am I expecting something bad to happen? But Aidan, isn't it true that people actually, you know, they put stuff away like Caroline, and all of a sudden they don't even know that it's in the wardrobe and there's clutter everywhere?
I love that Caroline said that, and I'm well done for doing it, because that is the lovely part of what I teach people as well. At the end of decluttering, is kind of when you get to those sentimental items, it's like all those things that we often have in the attic or that we put away to keep safe, they're the things we love the most. So absolutely, especially after the kids have gone, or even before if you can in a safe way, take them out so you can see them, because they're the things that kind of spark the joy kind of for us. And I've talked to people kind of before. Yeah, exactly. And it's kind of, I don't know, there's this weird thing about, like, my parents are from the country, from Roscommon, you know, the good room, the good parlour that was kept, you know, with the good crockery, the good crystal, the alcohol that was only ever opened up if the priest called or for Christmas and stuff. And in tiny little 2-bedroom cottages with 7 kids, and you're like, this makes no sense. And I think there's still a hangover from that kind of, we're constant. And I think COVID has taught us in some ways, but we've kind of forgotten again that, like, we just don't know what's going to happen tomorrow or next week. So, like, keeping the thing, keeping the good church or the good crockery or the good knives, like, just, I think, use them now.
You're right. Caroline, is there something you'd like to ask Aidan there, Caroline, after you've gone through the method? Is there anything now that you've got a real live consultant at your disposal
on the line.
Few seconds?
I have to confess, Aidan, I have a room which my husband did pass away, and we've a lot of stuff in a room now, you know, and it's just a room that's not being used. It's just stuff in it, and my boys, some of them have emigrated and all that, so we have a bit of a room like that in the house. The rooms that we all use, the communal rooms, are all fairly Marie Kondo'd, but you know, we kind of waste a bit of, it's a terrible disgrace in this day and age, but you know, we just need to kind of go again, I think.
I know what you mean. Yeah, well, sometimes it takes, you know, a lot of the clients I work with have something like that in their lives. You know, my own dad is in a nursing home, so we are, you know, soon going to be tackling kind of his clothes left behind in the house. So it's something that can't be rushed. You know, allow yourself to be okay with that being like that for whatever amount of time. And I think when you're ready, and maybe you're now ready, you know, when you're ready to do it, then it becomes, you kind of start thinking, oh, maybe I can do it. And just approach it with kindness and compassion towards yourself. And again, treat it like you did every other room. You know, just take things out slowly, take regular breaks. Just ask yourself again, do you want it? Does it spark joy? Do you want to keep it? And and keep as much as you want to keep, you know, because life is tough at times. So don't be hard on yourself, but go through it. And there might be things in there now that you would like to bring back into the everyday part of the house. And then kind of maybe think, well, what use could I use that room for? Do you want to, you know, turn it into like what they call now an analog room? So it's for reading, it's for listening to music, there's no TV or something, do you know? So kind of think, think what you'd like that room to be used for, and that will kind of give you a purpose and motivation for it as well.
Caroline, when did your husband pass away?
During COVID, he had, you were mentioning esophageal cancer there, he had that.
And sorry to hear that.
He was only 55.
Oh
so,
my
yeah,
goodness, that's so
young. Yeah, young man.
It's very difficult. And you know, it's really interesting. There's another a listener who got in touch with us here, Caroline, and you might relate a bit to this. A woman got in touch and she said that her mother passed away and she was very close to her. They were great companions. She was involved in her care. And even though she gave away a lot of her stuff, she still finds it really hard. She's got a lot of cards, memorabilia, probably mass cards. And she feels kind of guilty about parting with that stuff. And that's another thing, Caroline, that you probably can, you know, rest with you this morning.
Yeah, I kept some stuff, and then my boys, they're away, but I, you know, kept clothes and things and gave some away, but then they said, oh yeah, we'll hang on to that. And then you look at it in the cupboard, like, we're 4 years on, sure, nobody's ever going to wear things like that. But you know, there is a clutter there that needs to be cleaned out. There is, but I need to do the big Marie Kondo on that too.
I think you're great, though. I think you're really, you're on top of things, and you sound like you know what you're at, which is fabulous. Nisha, you're still with us there?
I am, yes.
I was reading here that it took, was it 36 hours for Aidan to sort out your sheet music? Because you're a classically trained musician and play at weddings and the whole lot. Tell us about that.
Yeah, well, I have, I had an office upstairs that was the box room in the house, and I was fairly organised to begin with, but I had all these box files from IKEA and shelving units. And I suppose with the digital age as well, I'm starting to migrate all the sheet music over to iPads and things like that. So I knew I could start to get rid of an awful lot of the music and the duplicates and the various different combinations and string parts and flute parts. And I didn't need all of it anymore. So I started scanning and we started going through everything. And I think we reduced, like, I think it was about 18 box files down to about 7.
Yeah.
Got rid of so much sheet music. And then in the middle of it all, I got pregnant, so the office had to go to the attic. But
you know what? It just shows you, though, that it's so important to be kind of organized, because when different things happen in your life and you have to actually really tidy up and make room for the actual cot or the child will be sleeping on the pile of clothes on the floor or on top of the sheet music, you needed to get organized. So it was great to have Aidan in your life. Nisha, thank you so much for being with us this morning. Aidan Gately as well, who is a decluttering expert. Can I say that about you, Aidan? A Marie Kondo consultant, And also Caroline, one of our listeners, Caroline Finn, who called in. Can I just end on this, Aidan, just while I still have you captured? Alison Clomel got in touch and she said, I recently saw an article where Marie Kondo says that now she has 3 children in her life. She is embracing messiness in her home. Spending family time with her children is what sparks joy in her life. So with the best will in the world, you can't be perfect. Would I say that that's right?
Yeah, I think, a lot of consultants gasped when she said that around the world, or the Guardian took it slightly out of context. But I think she's realised now at child number 3 that, I suppose, before she had children, she probably was a bit of a perfectionist and a minimalist. And now she's kind of realised, actually, you know, kids and life comes with stuff. But so it's about enjoying life. But I suppose I always kind of go back to the kind of adage that kind of, you know, an untidy house can be tidy. So Marie or anybody else or me, you know, if I have somebody coming around for dinner at the weekend or whatever, you know, I can tidy up the house pretty quickly, half an hour, 20 minutes, an hour maybe to Hoover as well, because I know where everything is going to go, because everything has a home. Whereas,
I think the whole thing is everything has a home, isn't that it? We have another listener here from Sally Noggin, got in touch with us. Good morning. I had a huge lot of nightlight holders, 20 to 30. So this week, I boxed them up to declutter. I put them up on Facebook and a lady collected them yesterday. So still more to do, but feel a lot better. So you can actually spark joy by sharing your stuff. I mean, as I always say, you're kind of whatever is somebody else's treasure. So that's so
treasure.
True.
Yeah.
Guys, thanks so much. There's so many things
Brilliant.
You can do.
No problem at all.
Right, Aidan, I'll be calling you privately on the old mobile. Leave your mobile there with the team, so I'll be calling you to sort out my life in every way when I finish the show. Guys, thanks so much for chatting to us this morning.
Thank you. Brilliant. Thanks for having us.
Fair play. Will you take a little break now? And we'll be back in a minute.
Email oliver@rte.ie.